This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash. Mondragon. That's become the moniker for the cooperative businesses owned and operated by at least 75,000 workers in the Basque region of Spain. These cooperatives have become the largest employer in the region and have played a major role in restoring decent livelihoods after the Spanish Civil War. And we're joined now by Professor Frederick Freundlich to give us a rare and exciting glimpse into the Mondragon cooperatives.
Professor Freundlich is considered one of the world's leading researchers and trainers on cooperative organization and development, and offers technical assistance on broadening enterprise ownership with businesses, government agencies, unions, and community organizations and other countries.
It's nice to have you with us.
Hello, how are you?
Good, good. Well, I want to start with how the cooperative structure of businesses wound up rooting themselves in the region of Mondragon.
Well, it began in the immediate post-Civil War era in Spain, Civil War from 36 to 39. The Basques had sided against Franco, who eventually won. So the Basque country was treated as occupied enemy territory, and as such was destroyed, impoverished, and also extremely politically repressed. Under these circumstances, or in this situation, comes a young priest named José María Arizmendi Arrieta, a person deeply imbued with Catholic social doctrine, which was very critical of conventional capitalism. And he immediately saw his mission as beyond, something far beyond the pulpit, and developed educational initiatives, beginning with a vocational school in 1943, and all kinds of other formal, informal educational initiatives in the region. His project was sort of a broad social change project based in the values of Catholic social teaching of solidarity and mutual responsibility and human dignity. And he eventually came to the conclusion, he gathered something of a following around him in the town of Mondragon. He eventually came to the conclusion that if we don't take this values project, this project of egalitarianism and solidarity, if we don't take that into the economy, into the workplace, then our values project will fail or won't be successful. It'll be incomplete because the economy, the enterprise, people's experience at work is so important to them that if these values aren't applied at work, then the values project is incomplete. So he began to think about how to take these values into the workplace. He and his immediate followers tried to reform the major company in Mondragon at the time. They were not successful. They were essentially told, save your sermons for Sunday. They then decided to create their own enterprise. They researched what kind of legal structure would be the most appropriate for their values, and they came upon worker cooperative legal structure. So that's how it all began.
So I wonder if you can just take the philosophy and tell us how it's complemented by the cooperative values. What's the essence and the structure so we can base ourselves in that and then proceed?
Mm-hmm. A worker cooperative, in brief, is an enterprise where the people who work in the enterprise are its owners, are its members and its owners. Capital is important, but it's labor who hires capital instead of the other way around. In conventional enterprise, capital hires labor in order to maximize shareholder value. In a worker cooperative enterprise, labor hires capital to fulfill whatever its objectives might be. It defines its own objectives and uses capital to fulfill those. If it's an enterprise that's competing in a market with conventional companies, it should have profitability among its objectives, but it doesn't have to be its exclusive objective or its principal objective. Mondragon generally makes its first objective creating employment, particularly cooperative employment. You have to be profitable to be able to do that, but if you place employment creation ahead of profitability, then the results of your activities are different, the results of your efforts are different. In any case, this issue, this arrangement of priorities, that is, labor hiring capital, leads to four essential things that define a worker cooperative. First is democracy. In terms of ultimate control. The company is controlled by all of its worker members on the basis of one member, one vote. The second issue is the money. Who benefits from the surplus that a firm might generate? In a worker cooperative, it's the worker members themselves who decide, who receive the benefits. They decide how they want to distribute the surplus to business reserves, to themselves as worker members, to community projects, and what have you. Now, in the Basque Country, there's a legislative framework that they have to work within, but essentially workers themselves decide how to distribute surplus. Third is sort of a general egalitarianism in the way the company functions, in the relationships among its workers and workers and managers, in its policies for hiring, for discipline, for vacation, for promotion, or what have you. The organizational structure tends to be more flat, less hierarchical. The hierarchy that does exist tends to be more open and more communicative, more responsive and less bureaucratic and authoritarian. And the fourth thing is participation, which is related to all of the above. I mean, if labor hires capital to meet its goals, then labor, that is, the worker members of the enterprise, should be participating in its decisions from the most basic ones on the shop floor to the most strategic ones at the board of directors and general assembly level.
This really turns the power relationship at the workplace totally upside down, or maybe right side up. Before we get into a more detailed discussion about how this operates on a more day-to-day basis, I think what separates Mondragon from the kind of worker co-ops that we see in the U.S. is the extent of what has been done there, the number, not just even the number of people who are involved, but the varied number of enterprises that are worker co-ops. Could you flesh that out?
Right, sure. Mondragon is the name of a town in the Basque region of northern Spain, a small industrial town, about 25,000 people, and the group of worker co-ops took the name of the town as their own. So it's the Mondragon, it used to be called the Mondragon Cooperative Group, now it's called the Mondragon Corporation. It's a network of roughly 120 cooperative enterprises and similar enterprises, and they have another 130 or so affiliates and subsidiaries all over the world. They employ a total of 75,000 people, these enterprises, and in 2013, sales were between 12 and 13 billion euros. The exchange rate has changed so dramatically over the last year that I hesitate to use dollars, but it's in the, depending on which exchange rate you choose, it's in the 14, 15, 16 billion dollar range, something like that.
What kind of enterprises are we talking about? Are we talking about distribution? Are we talking about manufacturing? I know there's banking involved. Could you just get into that a little bit?
The enterprises are divided into four areas. The enterprises started off in manufacturing, and so the most historic area is in manufacturing. It's called the industrial area. It's itself divided into 12 or 14 different divisions or groupings. They produce things like machine tools and auto components, electronic components, bicycles, industrial presses, automated manufacturing cells, packages and equipment, all kinds of different, in 20 or so different manufacturing sectors. So the historic central sector is the manufacturing, the industrial group. There's also a retail group, which is mainly a large chain of supermarkets and other consumer goods stores. Now the largest, it's now larger than the industrial group, has become larger in the last 15 or 20 years or so. Also, there's a large catering and industrial cleaning co-op in that group. So you have in the industrial area and the retail area. You also have the financial area that you mentioned, which is principally a cooperative bank and a cooperative social security and insurance organization. And the fourth area, much smaller but growing significantly in recent years, is the knowledge area, research and development cooperatives and technical assistance and consulting cooperatives. Most of the cooperatives are in the industrial area. Most of the employment and sales, roughly 55% or so, are in the retail area, and the rest are distributed between the financial area and the knowledge area.
When we mentioned through social media that we were going to be doing this program. Some of the questions or concerns that were immediately put out is, aha, another indication of left self-deception, that this is a diversion from really questioning who owns the means of production, capitulating to capital and diverting our attention from the real issue, which is radical social transformation. Your response and your understanding about the importance and what is certainly the Mondragon structure has meant to that region, and frankly, as a model, which certainly Ken and I believe has enormous importance and merit.
I think the flipping of the conventional employment relationship so that it's labor hiring capital represents radical social change. Simple as that. It's hard for me to get around the notion that for progressive change, for an alternative economy, hard to get around the notion of organizing production in decentralized democratic organizations. The role of the market in some future time where our culture and our societies have evolved, it's very, very hard to say what role the market will play or should play. In the foreseeable future, people who are thinking about economic alternatives, alternatives for the enterprise, alternatives for production, can follow a whole variety of strategies of social movements, organized labor, community organizing, education. I think cooperatives is another one of those strategies. I think the activity in the economic sphere is so important that beginning to democratize ownership and control of that sphere through cooperatives is essential to any broader progressive social change and not a distraction. Mondragon, it's been in existence now for well over 50 years. The attitudes and values of the workers, the worker members in the co-ops, highly diverse. But I think a very large majority, when asked beyond the superficial question, how do you like your co-op, there's any real effort to get to how worker members feel about their enterprise, the vast majority think it's fundamentally important that it's structured as a cooperative. Day-to-day work in a retail store or in a manufacturing operation may be very difficult. And the actual activity of a person for some hours during the day may be not that much different from the activity of a similar worker in a similar enterprise that's conventionally owned. But in the framework of the cooperative, in the framework of relations that are more collaborative and more trusting, in a framework of relationships of less conflict among different levels in the organization, workers, I think, are very, very favorable inclined to that kind of arrangement. It's also, at the end of the day, a very different way to distribute wealth and income. Work experience can be very difficult, can be boring, and can be physically laborious and arduous in different kinds of operations, retail and manufacturing, also in finance, sitting for hours at a desk at a computer. Those things can be very difficult. But at the end of the day, worker cooperatives distribute income in a much more egalitarian way, and they distribute wealth in a much more egalitarian way than conventional enterprises. It's not easy to study, but it's been measured in different ways in Mondragon, in the region around this town, in comparison to other areas of the Basque Country. And Mondragon is shown to be relatively very prosperous, but also very egalitarian in terms of distribution of wealth and income. There's also evidence about other positive social goods, relationships of trust, engagement in the community, engagement in community activities, even public health.
How does this translate into a shop floor experience? Is the work structured like a traditional bureaucracy with orders coming down from the top, or do you have situations, for instance, where the workers actually elect their shop floor leaders, which we call bosses?
Generally speaking, the workplace is participatory. It's one of the central priorities for the cooperatives in Mondragon to make the workplace as participatory as possible. That said, it's a perennial challenge. People in Mondragon, I think, their lives and their community, their behavior, I think it's affected by working in a cooperative and by many people working in cooperatives in relatively close proximity. But they're exposed to all of the same media and cultural and economic influences outside their experience in the cooperative. They're exposed to all the same kinds of influences that everyone else is exposed to in the developed world and the developing world and emerging economies. Enormous cultural pressure with respect to materialism and consumption and competition with neighbors, with neighboring regions, with others. All those influences exist in Mondragon, and they take their toll with respect to how people respond to working in a cooperative enterprise. So in some cases, the co-ops are enormously varied with respect to how successful they are in achieving a participatory workplace. Now, starting from the most fundamental level, the body with highest authority in a cooperative is the General Assembly of Worker Members. All of the workers meet at least once a year, and in that meeting, they make several basic decisions based on the notion of one worker, one vote, based on that ideal. At any given time, workers can convene a General Assembly, and they can make any decision they want. If they feel that a CEO or a given manager is acting inappropriately or is incompetent, they can convene a General Assembly and they can have that person fired or force that person to resign. One of the decisions that the worker members make in their General Assembly is the election of the Board of Directors, sometimes called a Governing Council. The General Assembly elects the General Assembly is sovereign, but when the General Assembly is not in session, their elected body, something like a board of directors in a conventional company, is sovereign and in representation of workers when the General Assembly is not actively in session. So workers elect that body on the basis of one worker member, one vote, and that body then appoints senior management of the company.
Well, let me just ask you this. As a working model of an alternative to the capitalist mode of production, I think it's enormously valuable and quite exciting. And one of the issues, I mean, there's also a university that's attached to the Mondragon area and region and is a component part in some ways of this. I'm interested in to what extent structurally or by intent, self-consciously, the consciousness of the working class continues to evolve and move in the direction of, and to what extent the cooperatives see immersing themselves in the politics of the social structure. And frankly, it's transformation. Is that too much to expect? Is that in any way a component part of what the intent or what actually happens with this enormous network of more than 260 cooperatively owned businesses and affiliate organizations?
I think it is. I don't think it's simple. I think it's subtle. And frequently it's not immediately apparent. A person goes to visit Mondragon and spends a few days or a week, visits several of the cooperatives, may not get a sense. People who visit almost universally have a very positive sense, and they're impressed. They're very impressed and inspired by what they see. But enter a given enterprise on a given day, walk down the street, and you're not overwhelmed by an alternative society, so different from what you would find in New York or in San Diego or in St. Louis or Paris or London, for that matter. But if you are there for a bit longer, for a month or 6 months or a year, you notice something is different. How much of this is conscious with respect to policy developed by Mondragon to promote a more democratic, participatory, progressive consciousness in the population? Very hard to tell. Mondragon has invested an enormous amount in cooperative ownership education, and people participate from the front line, shop floor levels, up to boards of directors and senior managers. And it's designed and operated by people who are, I know personally, and they are deeply committed to cooperative values and to transforming the local and regional economy and the economy beyond that. They're deeply troubled by conventional capitalist relations of production and conventional and the conventional dominance, or the dominance of the conventional economy by financial institutions and speculation.
Well, I'm afraid we're going to really have to leave it there. We haven't even skimmed the surface, but I hope that we have talked about what is really exciting people around the world. What, as I said, is a moniker, has been known as the Mondragon Cooperative System in the Basque region of Spain. And I hope that we have stimulated people to read more, find out more about it, and that we can call upon you again to continue to elaborate and flesh out the details of this remarkable, remarkable structure that is operated by more than 75,000 workers at this point, one of the most extensive in the world, and has become an inspiration around the world.
Be my pleasure.
Well, we have been speaking with Professor Frederick Freundlich, and he is one of the leading researchers, trainers, and technical assistance people in the world looking at the cooperative structure of organization. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you.
Now, this short documentary explores how the Mondragon cooperatives defy the economic crisis in Spain.
There's still a lot of work to do, but only 4 days a week. Ana de Castro is working shorter hours at the moment. The economic crisis has hit the Fagor company hard. De Castro has been fitting electric motors in refrigerators for the past 12 years. She's responsible for this part of the production process now. As a member of the cooperative, she also owns part of the company. All of the workers are part owners.
We make the money, it's ours. It affects us all. If this wasn't a cooperative, then the company would have downsized and people would have been fired.
Fagor hasn't fired anyone. And that in spite of how difficult it is currently to sell fridges in Spain, where the market has shrunk by 40% in the past 3 years. Production manager José Antonio González and his co-workers have agreed on drastic cuts with management.
At the end of the day, we don't owe anybody anything. We workers are lucky to be part owners. We are the people who have to decide what to do and how much to cut our wages, how much we have to sacrifice. That's how we'll get by.
The Mondragon Cooperative is made up of 255 companies working in different fields. Most families in this small town of 20,000 people make their living from the cooperative. Unemployment is just over 9% in the region. The Spanish national average is double that. Corporate headquarters look down over the town. General Secretary Arancha Lascurain coordinates the finances. The parts of the cooperative which are faring well support those which are struggling.
We can't deny that the crisis is affecting our business, but there are differences between us and other companies that will help us emerge from the crisis successfully. On the whole, we're still growing. We've been able to maintain worker levels by making the necessary adjustments. Over the past 50 years, the Mondragon Cooperative has learned how to master different crises.
The Mondragon Cooperative owns companies with a global reputation. A few kilometers downriver, the Danobat Group makes machine tools for customers like Siemens and General Electric. Business is good at the moment, despite the poor economic situation in Spain.
How do you prepare for something like this? You try to become more international, so you don't rely on individual markets. You look for strategic areas that are less affected by the crisis and develop technologies that are hard to copy. And you need some luck.
95% of the machines Danobat makes are for export, mainly to China and Germany, and demand is growing. That means the company needs more workers at the moment. Engineer Aitor Korta worked in a different Mondragon company until recently. But there wasn't enough for him to do there, so he moved to Danobat.
I'm part of something bigger. If circumstances mean that there isn't enough work for me in my company, then instead of ending up on the street, I still have the chance to find another job in another firm belonging to the cooperative.
Like all the other members, Aitor Korta had to buy his way into the cooperative for 15,000 euros. But that gives him a share of the profits. And it's an investment in a more secure future.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg.
And Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.